It's time for overtime.
Now that's a tourist attraction.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros.
Toughest son of a gun you ever met, man. That Texas gunslinger ain't gonna let nothing get in the way.
With interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking. Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to a beautiful Friday edition of Overtime. They don't make days like this too often. Beautiful day setting us up for an amazing weekend. The College World Series, the World Cup, the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Final, and so much more to get to. Welcome in to the Friday, June 12th edition of Overtime. We'll hit the parlay before you know it. Coming up here in about 20 minutes, your opportunity to win big, which includes Minnesota Twins tickets. And I'm going to throw in a two-pack of tickets to Rock the Country coming to the WH Lyon Fairgrounds before the end of the month. Lot to love coming up throughout the summer. And certainly, we're diving deep into the prize pack lately here on the show. NBA, NHL, latest in the middle of hour one. Jerry P. in studio used to sit in this seat. He's going to be across the table coming up later on, talking about the Sioux Falls Marathon, what's on the docket around the corner for the Sioux Falls Sports Authority, and of course, got to get his opinion on the Vikings quarterback situation, NHL Stanley Cup Final, NBA Finals, and I'm curious, is Jerry P going to watch any of the World Cup? Is he going to do his civic duty and support Team USA? I don't preach at you guys too much here on the show. Maybe I do, but I'm not too much of a lecturer on the program. But just like I'll tell you, get out and vote absolutely positively every time. Local elections, state elections, national elections, get out and vote. Make your difference. Make your voice heard. I will also tell you to support your country when they're on a big stage like the World Cup, like the Olympics, like anything at a big stage, and certainly World Cup tonight for Team USA, game number one. They're taking on Paraguay tonight, 8 o'clock on Fox. Jerry P. at the end of hour one, we'll call that 11:40. And at noon on a Friday, punch your neighbor in the nose, win a big prize pack with a high noon showdown. And I got all sorts of goodies and things, including things that go boom, things that go bang. I can hook you up with some Pyro City bucks, Pyro bucks for winning, beating up your neighbor, the high noon showdown. And of course, so much more included in that prize pack. You guessed it, high noon showdown coming up at noon. And in hour number two, World Cup updates. What happened yesterday? What's going on today? Up first, by the way, Canada, Team Canada taking on Bosnia-Herzegovina, 2 o'clock on Fox, and then it's Team USA and Paraguay tonight, 8 o'clock on Fox as well. World Cup talk, NFL talk, and we wrap up the show with a big, beefy, and necessary edition of the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's get right to it. Things are ugly for San Antonio basketball. They're going to be back home in the cozy confines for Game 5 coming up tomorrow night, 7:30 on ABC. Somebody that knows a lot about rebounds and winning and assists is Magic Johnson. How did the Spurs rebound from such a energy-dumping, energy-draining loss, a debilitating loss in Game 4?
You know, one thing about the Spurs, they're young. And I think that they're going to be okay. I think this is going to be game six back to New York. Listen, it wasn't that they played bad.
Right.
So we gotta understand that this team played great. They just gave the game away. And the Knicks took it, right? So all you got to do is play like you did and don't make the mistakes that you made, right? And they're going to be okay. This team has played 4 great games. It's just the Knicks got a 3-1 lead, and they executed in winning time. The Knicks have executed better than the Spurs. So if I'm the Spurs, I'm feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, yeah, I lost, but I'm going home. We correct some mistakes that we made, and we can win and make it a 3-2 series and come back to New York. They should be down by the fact that they didn't execute in the fourth quarter.
So it all comes down to execution, which also says a lot about the team's experience in the postseason. Here's Tim McMahon on that topic of experience and how key it's been in the series.
There's no doubt the Spurs have enough talent to be a championship team, but the inexperience is rearing its ugly head over and over and over again. The Knicks are ready. The Knicks are an elite closing team. The Knicks are those cockroaches that you can't put away. They just keep crawling and crawling and crawling, climbing back from a 29-point deficit, climbing back from double-figure deficits throughout this series. And with Jalen Brunson, with OG Anunoby, with all these guys, they know how to make winning plays. That was supposed to be De'Aaron Fox for the Spurs. That clearly has not happened. And, you know, okay, you controlled the outcome of all four games. You're also on the brink of being eliminated on your own home floor if you don't figure out a way to close.
And on the verge of being eliminated, how about being annihilated? Chris Canty says this one's over.
Man, the Spurs going to get smoked like a Newport. This is over. The Knicks are not like any other team. When they see the light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to a series, they put their foot on the gas. Think about it. Right after they won Game 3 against the Atlanta Hawks, right after they won their third game in the Hawks series, they won their fourth game by 50. The series against the Sixers. Right after they got their third win in the series, they got the fourth win by 30. The Cavs series. After their third win, they got their fourth win by 37. The Spurs are going to get destroyed on Saturday night. They're going to lose by 30 plus. This is over. They don't have a chance in hell at being able to come back.
That's Chris Canty. Do they have a chance? Sure. Vegas certainly thinks so. Spurs are favored by 5.5. I'm leaning with Canty. I don't think it's an annihilation. I think the Knicks find a way. Spurs keep it close. And the Knicks win it by, 8 to 12 points coming up on Saturday night. I'm certainly a lot more wrong than I am right. If the Spurs do want to win game number 5, what do they have to do lineup-wise? Here's Evan Cohen with a notable swap that they should make ahead of game number 5.
We're in the midst of a great, great NBA season. The 25-26 NBA season has been phenomenal. The way they get there is for the 26-27 season to start. And what I mean by that is Dylan Harper in, De'Aaron Fox out. That's how they get there. This is now game 1 of the 26-27 season if you're the Spurs. There's no more like, De'Aaron Fox was an all-star. We gave him this huge deal. I'm sorry. You want to get back into it. Dylan Harper maybe even starts, but definitively plays more minutes than De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox is in that sixth man role, whether literally or hypothetically or practically, whatever it is. Go in, score, get out. That's it.
There you go. Game 5 coming up on Saturday. Knicks and the Spurs from San Antonio. Potential closeout game for New York. 7:30 on ABC. Again, Spurs favored this morning on DraftKings Sportsbook by 5.5 points. Well, it was game number 5 last night of the Stanley Cup Final from Raleigh, where the Hurricanes came to play early. It was tied up 1-1. Carolina got 3 additional goals, including a can't-believe-it kind of goal from Sebastian Aho that went off his skates onto his stick and then right into the back of the net.
He sends it in. Martin, the pass on the forecheck, won the puck. Missed Svechnikov. Walker down low, and they score!
Unbelievable stuff as always in that broadcast. The NHL, courtesy of the audio. Sebastian Aho netting that one. But Andrei Svechnikov, very special. 2 goals last night, and Nikolai Ehlers assisted on 3 different goals in a 4-2 win for Carolina. Here is team captain, elder statesman Jordan Staal, on how difficult this series has been as his team takes a 3-2 lead.
Yeah, I mean, it required everything we have. I mean, it's a good team over there. There's no question. I thought everyone in the group, all through the lineup, was dialed in tonight, from Bussy all the way through. And, you know, it required everything, and it's going to require everything to finish us off. So we're gonna take the win, enjoy tonight, regroup, find ways to get better, and find a way to get that 4th.
You know, Carolina has got a couple great goaltenders on their squad. It was a tough look for Frederik Andersen early on in the series. Very high scoring affairs regardless of who was in the net, but they make the switch to Brandon Bussy. It's made quite the difference for Carolina. Back-to-back wins in the series. Here is Staal on the new man in between the pipes for the Canes.
Yeah, I heard you earlier. He had an unbelievable season. There's no question. He didn't really come out of nowhere. You know, he was kind of maybe our diamond in the rough. And, you know, Freddie played so great. Unfortunate the way it went unfolded for him. But we had so much faith. We have so much faith in Bussy and what he can do. And he played great these last two games. And we're going to need him to continue that.
And that's Carolina Hurricanes team captain Jordan Staal. 4-2 the final last night. Canes lead the series 3-2. Game 6, potential closeout for Carolina on the road in Vegas on Sunday night, 7 o'clock on ABC. Carolina minus 115, marginally favored to close it out on Sunday night. PK Subban, how Vegas should feel returning home for Game 6, down a game?
They should feel very comfortable going back home. They've played well at home. I think that there should be some concern about William Karlsson. This is a big, big part of their team, a second-line centerman, a guy that when he came back into the lineup and was healthy, they were a different team. So that's a big hole that they're going to have to fill going back home. But, you know, this series has shrunk now. Now you got to get one game for a chance to play for a Stanley Cup. That's all Vegas is thinking about right now.
That is Game 6 coming up on Sunday night. Canes and Golden Knights from Vegas, 7 o'clock Sunday night on ABC. Major League Baseball, look away. Avert your eyes, avert your nose, Twins fans. It has not been good lately. They've lost 6 of their last 8. Took one on the chin yesterday in the series finale in Detroit, 11-0. The Tigers hit 6 homers.
And this ball clobbered for Perez. That's deep to left field. That's a home run, 2-run shot for Perez. And again, we talk all the time about the sanctity of numbers in the game, and that's a couple more home runs and a couple runs. Those all count at the end of the year. No one goes to look and see if it was off a position player. 2-run homer for Perez. It's 11-0.
11-0 would be the final. Chris Atterbury on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Twins manager Derek Shelton on Zebby Matthews' performance. They went after him. He fell falls to 2-4 with the latest loss.
Yeah, I mean, they attacked him. He threw strikes. I mean, you look at the line, I actually think he pitched better than the line. I mean, he hung a breaking ball, he hung a changeup, and then a 3-0 homer. You know, also, they got the balls up to left field. I mean, even the first ball McGonagall hit, you know, I mean, ball was blown out, and you got to give them credit. They took good swings.
And that's Twins manager Derek Shelton. Minnesota falling 11-0 yesterday. Other notable finals, St. Louis falls to the Mets 5-4. Texas beats Kansas City in KC 4-2. And the Cubbies back above 500, 35-34 with a 9-3 road win in Denver over the Rockies. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Tigers at the Guardians 6-10, Dodgers at White Sox, Phillies at Brewers, Astros at Royals, Rockies at the A's, Cubs and the Giants tussle in San Francisco. Minnesota opens a home series against the Cardinals tonight at 7:10, 6:30. Your pregame coverage right here along the Treasure Island Baseball Network. NASCAR race this weekend is at Pocono Speedway, Sunday, 2 o'clock on Prime and HBO Max, and over to the world of college football. There's nothing else to talk about, no other breaking news except for the earth-shattering, crazy, ludicrous, ridiculous ruling and news that we got on Monday. Here's Q Myers, let it rip on how little sense it makes that Brendan Sorsby is eligible and could soon be playing college football again.
To me, the whole situation looks terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't root for anyone to fail.
Right.
But, I mean, literally, if you're betting on your team, right, and you're having this gambling situation, and this is one of the things that we started talking about when sports betting became legal. There was a lot of, you know, ramifications. There was a lot of rules that were put in place. And this, to me, seems like this is the biggest rule that you can't break.
Right.
But somehow, some way, you're able to skirt around it. Like, to me, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all. Everybody that plays college football knows you don't bet on college football. You don't bet on your team. You don't bet on your buddy from high school's team with some inside info. Whatever it might be, you don't bet. You shouldn't really be betting at all, much less on the sport that you are participating in, may have some insider knowledge of, and can influence games on Saturdays or Thursday nights. Whatever it might be, it ain't right. But Texas Tech going to bat for their program yesterday, the administration, the president, the head coach. Here's head coach Joey McGuire, who says the people are all caught up in the wrong thing here in the situation with Brendan Sorsby.
I think right now so many people are pointing the finger of like, well, he's going to play. He can play is what the judge said. What we're trying to do is get him into a healthy space to where he feels great about what he's doing and he can deal with this addiction in a healthy way. And that's day by day.
And that is head coach Joey McGuire there in Lubbock, Texas, talking about Brendan Sorsby. There is not a single person out there that doesn't want recovery, that doesn't want people to be at their best. And Brendan Sorsby clearly went to rehab for a gambling addiction, other personality things out there. You can, that's well noted. You can find it at ESPN.com. Everybody wishes him well. Frankly, they probably would be fine if he was around the program. Not betting on the program, not betting on college football, but around the program. Keep the spirits high, stay sharp, train with the team. That's fine. But influencing games and doing this and getting caught by the NCAA, this wasn't a, hey, I turned myself in and I sat out a year and I would like to appeal for another chance, please. Look at what I've done. Look at all the things I've done here. I've got this tracking device on my phone. I haven't placed a single bet. That is behind me. I'm recovered. I'm ready to rumble. That would be a little bit of a different scenario than what we're dealing with here. This is so darn fresh, so darn recent, and so darn new that everybody's got some vitriol, strong opinions here. Frankly, it feels mean to say you bet on the game, probably shouldn't be playing the game, maybe ever again. And for Brendan Sorsby to be eligible so quickly, maybe a two-game suspension, we'll see. A lot of this is still up in the air. The NCAA has appealed. Sorsby could still appeal being held out the first two games. And I believe Coach McGuire that he wants the best for the young man. Get him on his feet. Get him over these mental hurdles. Get the addiction behind him. Stay clean in the world of gambling. Stay off your phone. Never gamble again on this sort of thing. That's great. Everybody wants that for Brendan Sorsby. Recovery, progress, mental health boost, not being torn down by people spouting hatred his way. Because really, it's not about Brendan Sorsby as much as it is about the case of Brendan Sorsby. Not a personal attack, but a breach of the rule and a widening and a loosening of the fabric of the integrity of college sports, which could have ripple effects. As I said on Monday on this show, it's not about Brendan Sorsby personally as much as the case. And what does it tell other kids out there in college sports that have that thought on a bye week or have that thought on a night after a game? You know what? I might put something on this game. I got a strong feeling about this. I know this guy over here. I know that coach. He recruited me over here. I think they got a really good shot tonight. And Sorsby didn't get punished much, so why shouldn't I? That is the Pandora's box that we're flirting with here. Case is still very, very much to be determined what happens, which way it goes. But again, I don't think there's very few people out there. There probably are. And I told you, if you're rooting against Brendan Sorsby personally, I don't know what to tell you. You want somebody to recover just like your loved ones out there that may have their struggles personally, your own struggles. Everybody's got them. You want to be at your best. You want to root for people, not root against people, especially in a case like this where so much is on the line personally, professionally, future, mental health, etc. for Brendan Sorsby. But you can also say, while wishing Sorsby the best and, hey, be around the program, go to the NFL, see if you can get a try out there and prove your way into an NFL career. That would be one hell of a story. But at the same time, you can say, I want what's best for college football. I want what's best for integrity in sports. And what's best for integrity in sports is to maintain firm rules. You can't do this. You can't do that. Oh, you did that. I'm sorry. You broke the rule. You're out. You're suspended. Out for a year. And then we'll review the case. Prove to us what you've done differently. We'll take it case by case basis. There's a lot of different avenues here. But Q Myers is right. This is just very wrong right now, and it's not final, not concrete, but we certainly have started pouring the concrete as of earlier this week as Sorsby ruled eligible, has been since appealed by the NCAA. Rounding out your scorecard, College World Series officially underway in less than 2 hours. West Virginia taking on Troy from down in Omaha, 1 o'clock on ESPN. WVU is a -210 favorite on the money line. Ole Miss in North Carolina, 6 o'clock on ESPN. UNC marginally favored there. And Saturday, Oklahoma, Alabama, 2 o'clock. Texas and Georgia, 7 o'clock. All those games broadcast on ESPN. The FIFA World Cup, hosted predominantly in the United States, got off the ground yesterday. Also, some games hosted up north of the border in Canada, south of the border in Mexico. Speaking of Mexico, Team Mexico got a big win over South Africa yesterday, 2-0. And then South Korea beat Czechia in the later game, 2-1, which sets up today, Canada against Bosnia-Herzegovina, 2 o'clock on Fox. Team Canada favored marginally minus 120 there. Team USA and Paraguay lock in horns, 8 o'clock tonight on Fox. Team USA, little bit of a dog, but of course the betting line there influenced by the possibility of a draw, a tie, which still could be a boost for both teams in terms of points and qualifying for the knockout stage. Here's Emmett Golden on Team USA needing to take the next step this time around.
U.S. Men's National Team, I got to see how they measure up against the best teams in the world. If they don't get out of group play, it will be a disaster. And I don't expect that to happen. I believe that they'll get out of the group play. But even then, I need to see them win a game in the knockout round and really take that next step, because they are, many people are saying this is the golden age of U.S. soccer. You can't be losing early in the World Cup if this is the best foot you've been able to put forward.
And that's Emmett Golden of ESPN Radio. Told you yesterday, what do the odds tell you in regards to Team USA? They will advance out of the group stage, according to odds, but maybe not much further than that. They're right around the 16th or 18th most favored team to win the World Cup. There are 48 teams in attendance. As we dive in quickly to your ReliaBank headlines of the day, as the fall sports season approaches down in Vermilion, the deadline to renew football and volleyball season tickets and lock in your Yacht Fund level is coming up at the end of the month, Tuesday, June 30th. Season tickets, Howling Pack donations, seat licenses, Excellence Fund, and capital project contributions, and more will be accounted for in your Yacht Fund level. Any contributions made through the aforementioned from July 1st to June 30th of this year will compose your athletic season Yacht Fund level. You can find all the details, buy your season tickets for football and volleyball, goyotes.com. Speaking of football, up the road in Brookings, promotional dates for SDSU Jackrabbit football's 7 home games during the upcoming season have been finalized. The Jacks will kick off the season August 29th by hosting Stetson, the Hatters, in the Precision Ag Bowl for the first 2 Junior Jacks nights. SDSU will be home for 3 consecutive Saturdays in September, starting with the 59th Beef Bowl and the Jackson Black game against New Haven on September 12th. A week later, it is Dairy Drive time in a matchup against Youngstown State. And the month concludes with the annual Hall of Fame game and a second Junior Jacks night on September 26th, when SDSU welcomes in Eastern Illinois to Dana J. Dykehouse Stadium. Full football promotional schedule available, gojacks.com. And a reminder for you Yacht fans down to our south in Vermilion, get those renewals in and learn about more ticketing opportunities and opportunities to give back to USD Coyote football and the university. Goyotes.com. We will take a break. When we come back, we're diving right into the Friday Parlay, NBA, NHL chatter. Lot to get to out of the National Hockey League, as the Carolina Hurricanes are now just 1 game away from raising their first Stanley Cup in 20 years. A look at the odds, storylines, moments that matter, and so much more coming up next on a Friday, June 12th edition of Overtime, right after this on ESPN Sioux Falls.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Friday, June 12th edition of Overtime. The time to win right around the corner. We'll get the Friday parlay posted up here in a moment. And the High Noon Showdown, you guessed it, is coming up at High Noon, about, 31 minutes away from now. Got several great new prize packs to win in the studio, including some tickets for Thunder in the Valley. That is upcoming out in Rock Valley, Iowa, July 9th, 10th, and 11th. It's a great event for you and your family to attend. Then out just across the border in Rock Valley, we got some tickets to give away later on down the line. Also, some things that go snap, crackle, pop, boom, and bang Pyro City, Pyro Bucks, $40 in Pyro Bucks up for grabs. Got a lot of these to give away, one per listener, and certainly you could win some goodies for the 4th of July holiday around the corner. You can use those bucks between June 27th and July the 5th. Get your hands on some right now over the weekend with the Friday Parlay. Later on in the show, we'll be giving away a pair of Rock the Country tickets to the winner of the High Noon Showdown as well. We'll be throwing a pair Rock the Country tickets concert later on this month, just a couple weekends away. As a matter of fact, out at the WH Lyon Fairgrounds, you got Kid Rock, Brantley Gilbert, Stained, and so much more in attendance. Rock the Country. Find out more info. Article up at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Pair of tickets in the parlay. Pair of tickets to the winner of the High Noon Showdown around the corner. Let's get you a nice long look at the NBA and the NHL right now. And we start in the world of hockey, where the Carolina Hurricanes are pretty darn good and now just one win away. They had spent the NHL playoffs waiting for their power play to get going, along with their top line, which was much maligned for the start of the series. Andrei Svechnikov, Sebastian Aho, slow starts, and that has officially come to the end. Svechnikov netting 2, Aho 1 last night, and they had spent the first four games being outplayed in critical second period sequences. Last night, though, it all came together, aligning to bring the Canes within one win of winning the Stanley Cup. Svechnikov scored twice. Aho added a second period goal, and they beat Vegas 4-2. Head coach Rod Brind'Amour saying, "I liked our effort, and I hope we're getting better. I still think there's certain areas of our game that are starting to look a lot like we need it to look, but I still think there's another level that we're going to need to find to get that next one." That is a motivated team, motivated coach, not resting on your laurels. We can still get a lot better, and there's other things out there for us to continue to improve. Well, award season continues to ramble along in the NHL, and Nikita Kucherov of the Tampa Bay Lightning won his second Hart Trophy as the NHL's MVP yesterday in an extremely close race against Oilers center Connor McDavid and Avalanche center Nathan MacKinnon. 32-year-old Kucherov was listed in the top five on 196 of 198 ballots and received 72 first-place votes. That gave him 1,436 points. McDavid, trailing that with 68 first-place votes, had more votes for second and third place than Kucherov did. MacKinnon, third with 52 first-place votes. Other names out there, Macklin Celebrini, youngster, tremendously special. He got 5 first-place votes, but that alone, very impressive, so young into his career. Nick Suzuki, David Pastrnak, Zach Werenski, and Cole Caulfield rounding out the vote-getters for the MVP. Tampa Bay Lightning's Nikita Kucherov winning that award last night. The Colorado Avalanche and their fans might be a little dismayed, some would say disgusted, about a couple of Stanley Cup playoff exits lately. The Avs and general manager Joe Sakic said that the head coach and his staff will return and remain for the upcoming season. No plans to make any moves. We feel he's the best coach for our team. According to Sakic, the Avalanche won the President's Trophy for having the NHL's best regular season record. Started out the Stanley Cup playoffs like a juggernaut, sweeping the Kings and eliminating the Wild in just 5 games. But Colorado stunned in the Western Conference Finals by Vegas, who swept the Avalanche out. Some fans would say, "Get him out of here." That would be an overreaction. Here to stay for now, head coach Jared Bednar and the staff there in Denver. Lastly, from the world of hockey, Darnell Nurse's time with the Oilers could soon be coming to an end. Nurse provided the Oilers with a short list of teams he would be willing to be traded to. According to multiple reports, the 31-year-old has 4 seasons left on his deal at an average annual salary cap hit of just over $9 million because the 8-year, $74 million contract he signed back in August of 21 was largely front-loaded. Nurse is only owed $30 million in actual money through 2030. Could be a bargain, a trade chip, along with Dylan Larkin, who wants out of Detroit. Couple names to watch ahead of the NHL offseason. Well, let's take a look at the odds quickly here for game number 6 in Vegas. This is coming up on Sunday night. Vegas is not the favored team. Carolina and Vegas are both in negative money line territory, which means just about anybody's game. But Vegas is giving a slight edge right now. A lot could change over the weekend, but a slight edge right now to Carolina minus 115. Vegas paying out minus 105. And then your futures bet, the Stanley Cup champion Carolina, lengthy lengthy lead there, minus 400, Vegas plus 320 right now to win it all. Over to the NBA, not a lot of news. There's a lot of keys. What needs to happen? Are the Spurs done for? I think so. I really do. A gut punch of that magnitude, hard to recover from, even if they had blown an 8-point lead with 3 minutes to go. That would be a big gut punch and an opportunity in which they looked like the better team for the majority of the night. That would have been tough to recover from. Now, recovering from a 29-point blown lead with also sorts of coaching gaffes, player gaffes, moments that didn't meet the moment as the Spurs, the play diagramming, the lack of timeout usage. There's so many different fingers pointing around, and all you need to know and all you really need to get a feel of is, who are the Spurs? Are they a finger-pointing team? Are they a team that is as steadfast as Victor Wembanyama is every postgame? We're fine. I'm not worried in the slightest. We got this. We're a great team. They are a really good team, no doubt about it. But when it comes down to the moments that matter in this series, it's 3-1. Because the Knicks have trailed by double digits in every single game so far. That should tell you that the Spurs are a really damn good team. It also should tell you that the Spurs are not meeting the moment in those moments that matter in the fourth quarter, big stages, big runs. Use a timeout, coach. We've seen a lot of that. For the San Antonio Spurs, I think they're done for. Don't necessarily feel like calling it in game number 5, but before too long, I think the Knicks will continue with that clutch gene. That's just where they're comfy and cozy. There's certain football teams that are that way. Oh, that's just how they are. They like to make it interesting. They like to play from behind. Or they like to play with a very slim lead. Well, the New York Knicks don't mind the game of runs. They live for that. They live for being within striking distance and teams getting comfy and putting their heads up or hands up on their head and kicking their feet up and saying, we got this. We don't need a timeout. We're good. And they make you pay for it. Knicks very likely to win, and a quick look at the odds there in regards to the future of that series. San Antonio getting a lot of credo, 5.5-point favorite in a game where a lot of people think it's over. Knicks are going to come in and win by double digits. San Antonio, a 5.5-point favorite coming up on Saturday night. Moneyline minus 200 for San Antonio. And then the overall finals odds here have been completely taken off the board. No, they have not. Scrolling down a little bit further, the Knicks minus 500, Spurs plus 380, courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook. That's the latest and greatest there. NBA, NHL, and so much more. It has been a fun finale in both sports leagues, and certainly would like it to extend a little further, but we'll just have to wait and see over the weekend. Again, NBA Finals, game number 5, Saturday night. NHL Stanley Cup Final, game number 6 on Sunday night from Vegas. We take a break. When we come back, one of our favorites, and by one of, I mean the favorite, Jerry P. with the Sioux Falls Sports Authority, talking about the marathon, the Kyler Murray, J.J. McCarthy sweepstakes competition, in quotes, and so much more. Jerry P. in studio right around the corner on this Friday, June 12th edition of Overtime.
Streaming live online and with the app, this is Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Friday, June 12th edition of Overtime. I could totally talk throughout the entirety of the break and get back late when talking with Jerry P. about the movers and shakers, family life, sporting activities, and so much more. Jerry P. in studio, used to be in this seat. Now he's in that seat across the table. Sioux Falls Sports Authority, Sioux Falls Marathon coming up near the end of September. Welcome in, my friend. It's always great to talk to you. How you doing?
I am doing great, but to be fair here, Bert, we would normally come in late too, and that was just after shenanigans of getting yelled at multiple times for doing so. So this is just like normal.
Have you considered running for mayor, man? Because when you get here, it's a glad-handing fiesta. It's authentic, of course, but everybody wants to see Jerry P. Everybody wants to check in. When I see your truck out there and you hop out, you're talking to this person, that person, I do worry. I head into break and I say, is this enough time? Do I need to beef up this break? Have you thought about running for mayor? There's a runoff coming up.
No, I don't think I'd be any form of great in public, I guess, public service that way. I just don't know if that... I would have a hard time with the negative comment side of that, right? Like, people going, making comments, whether it's about your family or just because they disagree with, like, one thing or one policy. I don't know if I'd be cut for that. Like, if you want to argue sports with me, yeah, you can shake that off, right? But, like... Yeah, people just get so intertwined. I just don't know if that would be the type of life for me.
And certainly that runoff coming up towards the end of the month. Jerry P. not among the candidates this time around. Maybe next time,
Talk me into it in the future.
All right. Well, let's talk about what's new with you personally, professionally. USD Hoops, the transfer portal ripping and roaring for both those programs. Men's side cleaning up, a lot of big names. What do you think about USD, men's and women's hoops, but also... just any update on you personally that you want to share with all these folks that have been dying to hear from you?
Oh, everything's been going great, at least for me personally. Mm-hmm. Kids are great. Work's great. I'm living a good life, man. But, you know, the transfer portal side for the USD women's team looks awesome. And Carrie Amy has done a fantastic job, of course, with combing through the portal and really trying to situate teams. We saw that last year, and I think this year is going to be the same type of situation. What they are really excited about is the freshman class. The freshman class, if you look at different rankings across the board, is like anywhere between number 14 and number 25 in the nation for the four that they have coming in. And the opening day that they had, they just opened up summer camp here this past, Monday? So only a few days ago. And the intel I got was these freshmen can hoop. So there's a lot to be excited about on the USD women's side for this year, and very excited for that season. I can't wait to get the non-conference schedule. Just as a broadcaster, man, that there's nothing more fun than when you get like the non-con schedule, because it's like, where are we going or what are we doing? What teams are we going to play against? So hopefully that's coming down the pipeline here very soon. And yeah, the USD men's team kind of doing the same thing, and for them it's always a difficult position to kind of be in too, right? Where you're looking at different transfer portals because of mid-major basketball and the way that things are. You're always going to have guys that leave. You're going to have guys that are looking for new homes. And sometimes it's just a matter of whether it's like a job or whether it's any form of thing in life. You just need one place to take a shot at you, right? You just need one place to take you in. And, you know, for USD, the kids that they have coming in on the men's basketball side look like they can just flat out jump out of the gym. They look great. You know, and some of them maybe have battled injuries in the past, and it's just, they just need that one opportunity. And, you know, if you can make the most out of that, things can be really good. So I'm excited for Coach Petey. I'm excited for that program this year to see where they go. There's a lot of changeover, of course, in terms of the roster. So you have to kind of get used to who's new and what will be there. But they have a pretty good core coming back. And then I think the transfer portal is going to pay off for them, too.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy the wide variance of talent they got in the portal. They got the Van Calsby kid from just over the border at Northwestern who can absolutely hoop, can dunk it, threw a couple off the backboard in a game two different times, was able to hammer that home. And then, of course, their most recent transfer in was on the Florida Gators National Championship team. Pretty insane stuff for the Yotes. Lastly, before we move on from things down in Vermillion, football team, turnover at quarterback, turnover at coach, but certainly very talented, sky-high expectations again for the Yotes down there in Vermillion.
Yeah, I still think you consider them right in the top frame there of the FCS. I don't want to put a number on it, but I do think that they're going to have a very successful season. They bring out a really strong group of guys back. You think of like Keandre Jones-Logan, who will be on the team this year. Charles Pierre's coming back off of injury. You got some kids on the offensive side, even on the defensive side, that, you know, when people are, of course, looking at USD, they're looking at the quarterback situation. But if you look at the talent that's surrounding that program right now, there's a lot of key pieces back. So I think the fall could be a lot of fun. And I think the quarterback battle is... in a fun way, I don't know if there's a way to lose, right? Like, the guys that they have in there look awesome and great, and it's just a matter of who's going to win out the competition in the fall.
Let's talk quarterback battles of the Minnesota Vikings, man. I respect your Vikings opinion a ton. Are you team JJ, team Kyler? Give me your thoughts on the pot shot, passive aggressive weirdness going on lately, but also just the state of the Vikings in that position moving forward.
What I'm afraid of is that we're treading dangerous waters. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that it appears like Kyler Murray would have the ultimate just straight line into the job, yep. No questions asked, right? Like if I was to handicap it or anything like that, week one against Green Bay, I expect Kyler Murray to basically be the starting quarterback, mm-hmm. right? He came to Minnesota without really talking to anybody else. So what was even promised to him? I think those are some legitimate questions. He's on a one-year deal. He's on a make-it-or-break-it type of situation. If he loses the quarterback battle, it's not good for Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. And he's probably going to demand a release right then and there because it's not going to do him any good to sit back up when there might be another opportunity mm-hmm. that's out there. Now let's look at the J.J. McCarthy situation. Of course, if you give up on your quarterback 10 games into his year, the way that they ended last season, it's probably not the best look either, right?
Trade value either.
Right, but he's also on a rookie contract, and you would just look at him at that point and say, you know, tough luck, kid. You're going to sit, you're going to learn, and deal with it. And he doesn't have too much of a negotiation power there. But where he does is you look at all of the different ways that he is connected with teammates. Mm-hmm. Brian O'Neill did some form of an interview where he talked about how he commanded a huddle better than any other quarterback that he's played with. You're talking like Kirk Cousins and company. That's pretty high praise from one of your key leaders on the offensive line and Brian O'Neill. You see him at Minnesota Wild games during the playoffs, hanging with the guys. He seems to have really built a reputation with the players that are around that locker room. Now, his talent maybe is not where they want it. Mm-hmm. But does that put a wedge if you don't go that direction? And I think that's just a question out there that you could float is the dangerous waters of this situation is whichever direction you go could turn kind of bad, right? Because mm-hmm. if you pick Kyler and some of the members of the Vikings team that are close with J.J. McCarthy wanted J.J. to have that, does it put a ripple? And those are just something that they're going to have to figure out, and I hope that it all shakes out nicely. But if I was to tell you right now on, you know, whatever this day is, June the 12th, I would expect Kyler Murray to be the starting quarterback against Green Bay.
There you go. So there's obviously didn't really think about the hurt feelings deal. And again, you could say, come on, grow up. But they have Carson Wentz there. So if one of these guys wants to be traded, wants to be cut, get out of town, ticked off they didn't win the job, you got Carson Wentz's QB2. That is certainly something we have not talked about too much.
Well, but think about that. It's just human nature, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you're friends with somebody at your work and you want that person to have that opportunity and then they're placed at what would be QB3, that I could just imagine feelings kind of being hurt. This is the guy that I go to Wild games with. I'm having a beverage with. This is who I want to succeed. And we're going to roll with this guy. I guess we're going to support this guy, right? We're not going to change our direction that way. We're all playing for a paycheck. We're all playing to be the top that we can be. So you're not going to change like on field, but just you think about the locker room dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where this could get kind of messy and dangerous. I hope not.
And we'll wait and see. That's the latest on the Vikings quarterback situation. Jerry P of the Sioux Falls Sports Authority in studio. Sioux Falls Marathon to talk about in just a moment. Quick little question though. NBA Finals, NHL Finals, and the World Cup. Are you watching any World Cup soccer?
Yes.
And what's your line on the NBA? Is that done for coming up on Saturday? Do you think the Spurs have a little bit of a shot? And then the NHL, do you have any opinion there?
It would be the most New York Knicks thing for this to go to 7 games mm-hmm. after all of this. It really would.
It would.
So I'm going to call for a San Antonio win coming up in the next game. I just feel like it's there. Although, to take a shot the way that they did, you're up 29 points and you lose, like kind of just pack it in from there, right? Yep. Like that's a tough pill to swallow mm-hmm. in the finals. But I think they'll get the next one. And then I wonder if the Knicks will just, they'll choke it back at the Garden. I just could, and then this gets to a seventh game.
The Spurs have led by double digits in every game
right.
so far.
So I'm not going to question the fact that I do think this can get to seven. I really do. Mm-hmm. And it would be the most Knicks thing ever. And this is coming from somebody that at one point in time claimed to be a New York Knicks fan, but you gave up on them because, you know, it's better to be in the Timberwolves basket around this type of area, right?
Yeah.
They were not too much better to cheer for until recently, right? Both of these teams. So I'm going to call for that one to go seven.
All right.
The Stanley Cup, if you're not watching that, I think you're just missing out.
Yep.
It's just pure sport. Thomas is one, my coworker with the Sioux Falls Sports Authority, he does not care about hockey.
Yeah.
One bit in terms of the NHL, the Stanley Cup. He's like, if it gets to a game seven, that's when he's in on the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
He loves college hockey. And but it, there's something about the NHL game where he's just kind of like, I don't know. And I'm like, you're missing out.
Yeah,
these goals being scored 30 seconds in on the opening game, you're like, what in the world's happening? And the way that this whole series has turned out is just fun. So if you're not watching that, I'm all in. World Cup, who's not excited for tonight?
I am.
I'm excited.
I'm in. I'm 100% in. The games are a week apart, so it feels like kind of like an NFL schedule for the group stage.
Here's where I'm not going to lie to people. I have no idea what the schedule is. I just know they play tonight.
Well, check out ESPNSiouxFalls.com. I got the games up there. There's one coming up tonight, next Friday, and then the Thursday after that.
I don't even know who we play tonight. I just know USA,
we're winning. Of course we're winning. We're playing Paraguay tonight.
Oh, that's a win.
Or Uruguay. Paraguay.
What do we need? A win or a draw, right? We're in this group.
Win or draw, you get points. If you lose games this year in particular, you can accumulate some other points for the third place tiebreaker if you're third. If you're fourth, you're done.
I'm just a complete bandwagon World Cup USA fan.
All right. Well, that's a good way to be. Let's talk Sioux Falls Marathon, September 20th. You guys pushed this race back for the first time last year. Let's talk about the marathon, the prep, and everything that goes into this. What's keeping you busy with this lately in preparation for a late September race?
Yeah, a lot of it right now is just the operation side, the volunteer side, coordinating with some of our local schools, Augustana and USF in particular, to get some of their teams out there, to put them on our course, to help direct runners. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the start of the logistics for me. And then there's some smaller operational stuff, of course, with like trash cans, you know, all that other fun. But registration's out. We're 100 days away from the Sioux Falls Marathon this year, which is, it's flown so fast to even be 100 days out from today, mind you, 100 days from today. So we are quickly approaching. So from now, it's volunteer groups are pretty much set. And then you start moving on to the heavier operations, you know, the shirts, the medals, and getting everything lined up and ready to go.
So do you still need volunteers right now? What's the best place to engage with that and reach out? And if you are interested in giving some time to the success of this event that year over year has been pretty darn awesome here in Sioux Falls.
Yeah, if you want to volunteer, if your business wants to volunteer, I have openings and I will certainly take you. As you know, Bert, it's, you know, 26 miles across the city. There's areas of our course that sometimes you could just use that extra little boost. So if you're interested, if you want to bring your company out on a Sunday morning, just all you have to do is email me. Just jerryp@siouxfalls.com. Pretty easy. jerryp@siouxfalls.com. I'll get you signed up. I'll get you all situated on the course.
And I can speak from experience. Last year, if you listeners recall, I was in training for another 5K, sprained the ankle, said, you know what, Jerry, sign me up to be a volunteer. I was out there. It was awesome. And there's something, you talk about gift giving, you talk about giving time, volunteering, and that warm, fuzzy feel. And it's inspiring to be around the race and those people pushing themselves and challenging themselves. I don't know what mile I was. You could tell me. But those people were giving it their all. There were some people passing me that says, this bleeping stinks. But there were also people saying, I got it. Thanks for being here. Very excitable. It was awesome to volunteer. This year, I do plan to race. We'll kind of leave that at a cliffhanger as to what kind of race down the line we'll see. I'm training right now, feeling okay, and we'll wait and see. But as far as those people that might be on the fence pushing themselves for a 5K, half marathon, full marathon, what is your general message and experience being around this race for a while, the feedback you guys get about this particular event?
It's a fun community event, truly, and Sioux Falls does embrace it. And for those that want to get started, our 5K is truly family-friendly oriented. You don't have to run it. You can walk the 5K. You can bring your kids out and push a stroller. Mm-hmm. You can do that, and that's not a problem. It can be as competitive as you want it to be, or it could just be as fun as you want it to be. When you get to the half marathon and the full marathon, that's a little bit different. You're not going to come walk the half or walk the full by any stretch of the imagination. That's a little bit more on the competitive side. But this is not just a, you know, overly competitive type of situation and race. Come on out. If you want to do the 5K and you want to walk it, I have a banana for you and a chocolate milk at the finish line. And if you're over the age of 21, even a beverage for you, awaiting for you. It's just a fun time to come on out on a Sunday morning and embrace the community. We right now have 40 out of the 50 states registered for the Sioux Falls Marathon this year. I'm anticipating that number to get close to that 50. Last year was 48.
What state are you missing? Do you know?
Believe it or not, Connecticut's one, but the one that trips me out is Wyoming.
Wow.
If we could have just, I don't know, one of the listeners, if you got a connection in Wyoming and they could just come walk the 5K for all I know, I just got to get Wyoming. Yeah. I don't know what that is.
To be fair, it surprised people. That's the least populated state in the country.
Still, there's got to be one.
There got to be one runner out there, I would imagine. Certainly sign up right now. More information, SiouxFallsMarathon.com. Each and every year, I like to get a story out, and I also like to ask you about the potential for a promo code. People to save on the race registration. SiouxFallsMarathon.com. This is coming up at the end of September, the 20th of September, 2026. Do we have a promo code in the works for the old Bert listeners?
I have one for you, Bert. You're special. You're one of the only promo codes that are out there.
Oh, thank you.
Team Bert.
Team Bert.
All caps.
Okay.
26.
Bert 26. B-E-R-T, by the way, for you listeners out there. I'll get a story out as well. Opportunity to save Team Bert 26, Sioux Falls Marathon, Sioux Falls Sports Authority. Jerry P., anything else you want to wax poetic on? Floor is yours for just a couple seconds here.
We're just off and running with the Sioux Falls Sports Authority and the Sioux Falls Marathon, of course. As you mentioned, coming up in September, we're working on some big things with our Sioux Falls Boxing Classic coming up in January. Next time we get together, hopefully I can spill the beans on what is coming up for that, because it's going to be pretty big.
You and Thomas in the ring?
It won't be us in the ring, but you know, bet max. That's kind of the way that we're thinking here on the Sioux Falls Boxing Classic. Otherwise, this summer we'll be spending some time working on NCAA bids for what will be the years 29, 30, and 31. We're reviewing the NCAA's expanded tournament field for their bid that they're looking at for 2027 and 2028. So that's currently under construction in terms of that. So hopefully, you know, maybe there's some wiggle room right there in terms of the Division I men's basketball and the expanded tournament. So we're working on that.
Hey, we'll spend a lot of time on that topic next time we're in. Next time, hopefully a race announcement for yours truly. Sioux Falls Sports Authority, Sioux Falls Marathon. Register right now. Save at checkout. Team Bert 26, the promo code today for the marathon. Also, 5K half marathon registration open as well. SiouxFallsMarathon.com. It's time to beat up your neighbor and win a prize pack. The High Noon Showdown live right now. Dial me up if you want to win some Rock the Country tickets, some things that go boom and bang. I got some Pyro City, $40 Pyro Bucks to give away for the winner today as well. High Noon Showdown, get your calls in right now. 605-362-3776. Rock the Country, just a couple of weekends away. Kid Rock, Stained, Brantley Gilbert, and so much more. That lineup available ESPNSiouxFalls.com. But beat up your neighbor, win a prize pack. High Noon Showdown coming up next. 605-362-3776.